Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Thank you for keeping that radio dial set to 95.9WATD. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk. And our next guest is a private investigator. She has been on this program for different topics. This one, though, this one is something that's a bit more somber. This is about an event that's actually ongoing at this particular moment. And that is folks are gathering in the remembrance of a young lady who went missing 27 years ago to this date. And we are joined by Michelle Littlefield. She is the lead investigator who has injected hope and work on her own behalf into this case of looking for Jennifer Lynn Fay, a young Brockton girl who was just days away from turning 17 years old when she went missing. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, Michelle. How are you?
Good evening, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
I got to ask, first and foremost, since the last time you and I have had this discussion, we've done news stories. We are in the middle of putting together a story on this. What's the latest in regards to Jennifer Lynn Fay?
The latest tonight, as we are gathered here at St. Edith Stein's Church to have a candlelight vigil and retrace Jennifer's last steps, the latest information that we have to share is that we have been able to, over the last several years, gather a lot of information. We had a sit-down meeting with different agencies, the private investigators, as well as the state police and the Brockton police, where we collaboratively worked together. We shared all the information that we had gathered over the years, and they have taken that information and they have really run with it. They have really reopened and reactivated Jennifer's case, and it's nice to see that they are pursuing the leads that we were able to bring to them.
What's the difficulties in opening up a cold case like this years later? I know that there are TV shows, there are a number of TV shows in regards to this. What are some of the challenges in opening this up and retracing the steps and trying to get to the bottom of this?
When we first started reopening Jennifer's case in 2005, one of the biggest difficulties we found was actually locating some of the principal people that were in Jennifer's life,
right,
in that neighborhood that she disappeared from back in 1989. We've obviously, 11, 12 years later, we've gotten past that point. We've been able to locate the majority of the people all of the people that we needed to talk to in regards to this. And with that information that each of those people that we've found has given us, we've been able to puzzle together all the pieces to the story. We've been able to rebuild the timeline of Jennifer's activities that afternoon and that evening that she disappeared. And that was crucial. That was very crucial in pulling out new information that had never been recorded before.
And you look at it from the point of view as to today's investigators, how they're taking the approach as to how the police at that point in time, how they viewed what had happened to Miss Fay, correct?
Right. There's a huge difference. In 1989, we did not have Amber Alert. Jennifer's case was classified as a runaway immediately, which didn't satisfy the family because
right,
they knew there was no reason for her to run away. Everything at home was fine. So today we have a lot more tools. Today the police departments react very differently than they did 27 years ago.
Right.
We have the benefit of social media. We have the benefit of Amber Alert. So things today, when a child goes missing, are very, very different than they were 27 years ago when 16-year-old Jennifer Fay went missing.
When you think of how the police then, some of the different leads or some of the different theories, are those re-explored, re-looked at?
We did. We did re-look at all the information that the police department had given us back in 2005 when we started. The new information that came out after we reopened Jennifer's case in 2005 was really quite incredible. and to the point where we have pretty much locked down one, you know, only one possible scenario for what could have taken place that night. And as I said, the police department has done a fantastic job taking that information and working with it.
I think you and I have had a couple of conversations, and you also pointed to an elected official who, I don't know if it was before or in the entrance of office, kind of helped this as well. And I'm talking about the current mayor, Bill Carpenter, had, I think, played somewhat of a role in this too, right?
Absolutely. I have to, you know, I have to give a shout out. We try to keep politics and, yep. and investigations very separate. However, about a month or so before he was elected, Bill Carpenter came to me and he said to me, is there anything I can do? And I said, absolutely. You can show up at these vigils. You yep. can support this family. Make sure that they know that Jennifer is not forgotten. And he said, beyond that. And I said, we need help. We need the police departments to cooperate with us. We need them to take the information that we're giving them seriously. And I have to say that our first meeting, our first collaborative meeting with both the state police and the Brockton police came exactly 10 days after Bill Carpenter was sworn into office.
And as we're speaking with, again, this is the lead investigator, Michelle Littlefield. They are gathering over at St. Edith Stein's Church and going to retrace the steps of that evening. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's what we've been doing for the last 10 or 12 years or so, is retracing Jennifer's last known steps throughout the neighborhood that she lived in. She never went far. When she left her home that evening, she was going out with friends. She never left that one or two block radius of her home. And so that's what we do every year. We retrace Jennifer's steps to remind everybody that we are not going away. We will not forget Jen. We will never stop looking for the answers.
If you could, kind of share with us, that, you know, there was another family here in Massachusetts who also saw their daughter go missing, and I'm talking about the parents of Molly Bish. They've been instrumental in this too, have they not?
They have. Molly Bish was a very unique case in that her dad worked for the court system and had a lot of connections with the law enforcement and investigators. And as you well know, Molly's remains were found a few years after her disappearance. And after Molly's remains were found, Molly's parents began a Missing Children's Day in May, where they gathered all the families of missing children and had a ceremony at the State House. And at that point, they came to realize that not every missing case in Massachusetts gets the same attention that theirs did. Theirs was the perfect storm. They knew the right people at the right time. There was a lot of attention given to Molly's case, where Jennifer's case and some others didn't get that kind of attention or that kind of investigation. And the Bishes had the brilliant idea of going to the State Association of Private Investigators and asking investigators to work on cases of missing children pro bono. And that's how we came to get involved with Jennifer's case.
So I would ask you, how has this helped the family of Jennifer Lynn Fay? How has it helped the mom, the aunt, the friends, the folks who are still holding out hope that you will find there'll be more answers to come?
First and foremost, I think the most important thing to them is to know that they're not forgotten.
Right.
That Jennifer's case is still active and it's still being worked, and there's still people out there pounding on doors and pounding the pavement to get the answers that they need to move forward. They need peace in their lives. They need to know what happened to Jennifer. And secondarily, I think it helps them to have more information. Most police departments, and rightfully so, don't share a lot of information while a case is ongoing. Unfortunately, with Jennifer's case, it's been 27 years, and we've taken a very different approach and shared as much of that information as we've gathered with the family as possible. That gives them a little more peace to know more details, to know a little more information about what Jennifer's last night in that neighborhood might have been like.
You yourself being the mother of a beautiful daughter who was just crowned Miss South Coast 2017. We're talking about Lindsay Littlefield.
Very proud.
Do you look at your daughter? I mean, is that what drives you to keep on with this case? Because you think to yourself, what if that was my little girl?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you, it's having a teenage daughter is challenging in and of itself. But, you know, to think back 27 years ago, you know, Jennifer's mother didn't have the ability or the available technology that we have today. So when I look at my daughter and I say, beautiful girl, and very much in the public eye, mm-hmm. We have It's absolutely what drives me to not only keep her safe, but to make sure that Jennifer's family gets the answers that they deserve.
Beyond tonight's vigil being held at the St. Edelstein Parish in Brockton, what are the steps that are in place? What are you doing in the coming weeks and days in regards to this case? Is this something that you're checking in with Jennifer Lynn Fay's mom every now and then? Do you have meetings that are still ongoing?
Yes, we do. Our team of investigators still meet on a regular basis, and obviously any information that we gather, we share. I am in regular contact, very regular contact with Jennifer's family, and especially her mom. And again, our steps in the future are to continue to field the information that's coming in. We are very confident we know what happened to Jennifer that night. We have the information. That information needs to be corroborated. We need people to come forward and confirm the information that we have. There's one small detail left, and that is to know where Jennifer is. And somebody out there knows that.
And have you had any success in getting folks to corroborate that information to kind of help this? How has it been going?
It's been going very, very well. 95% of the people that we have contacted have very cooperatively worked with us. It's that other 5% that we're working on. And that 5% that isn't as cooperative will eventually have no other choice but to deal with us. So we hope that that will lead to the end of this. But again, what we need is people who have those details, that have that information. We need them to come forward. Not it's not breaking news. It's information that we need to corroborate the information we already have.
And I think it's a matter of setting, giving a parent peace of mind, finally knowing that she can lay her daughter to rest, knowing what happened, that she has been found, and that she's resting peacefully. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, if there is somebody who is out there who might have information, or they might have something to share, are you still seeking those people, and how can they contact you?
Absolutely. They can contact me. I'm very public on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We have a website, JenniferLynnFayFoundation.org. Information can be sent anonymously through that website. You can call. There's a tip line at the Brockton Police Department that's very public that you can contact. The Massachusetts State Police. There are so many ways to get that information to us. Mail, email me, snail mail an anonymous letter. We don't care how you get that information to us, but we need that information to corroborate what we have already done.
Anything that I haven't asked you, Michelle, but you feel is kind of important to talking about tonight's candlelight vigil, talking about the life and times of Jennifer Lynn Fay, and hopefully one day finding out what happened to her, at least being 100% with it.
I would ask that people come out, support this family. We will be here until about 7:30 this evening in the neighborhood around St. Edith Stein Church. I think that this family deserves to know that the city of Brockton and this community has not forgotten Jennifer. And I think it's our main goal is to remind people that we are not going away, that we are not going to stop looking for answers.
This she is, Private Investigator Michelle Littlefield, talking about tonight's candlelight vigil till 7:30 at the St. Edith Stein's Parish, the church. They're up on Main Street. Actually, is it North East. Main Street or East?
East Main Street.
East Main Street. I get those confused sometimes.
I do too.
But I appreciate it. And thank you, as always, for being a great source of information and also coming on to share details about this event that's taking place as we speak.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
You got it. Coming up at the top of the hour here on Monday Night Talk, when we come back, we're going to speak with John Creed. We're going to get his thoughts on last Tuesday, the big election, and not only just presidential, but also talk a little bit about some of the local races, the ballot questions, get his thoughts. That and more coming up here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.